gotta go live. Oh, we are live. Yes, 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 yes. Back once again. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome back to your great podcast.
Welcome back to Riffin' with Griffin. It's a chill, chill episode of Riffin' with Griffin. Just got a few things on my mind. Talking about the top movies in 2022, the royal family. What else? I want to read some comments today and go through some comments. I don't usually do that, so let's do that on the episode today. And a little Q&A in the chat. Damn, my voice is messed up because I just had some sushi with Rachel. Rachel just brought some sushi. First of all, I'm not with take-home sushi, but she went down to this place right just down the street, and I love this place. You know, so she got her sushi. You can't let sushi sit. You got to eat sushi right away. But anyways, we'll talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Riffin' with Griffin. Your favorite stream of consciousness podcast with Eric Griffin. If you're here for your first time, welcome. Maybe you're looking for a comedy podcast. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. This is for the new people. The new people, you know, I have comedy on other podcasts. You could check out The Golden Hour. You could check out Gen to Gen with Matthew Espinoza. But on this one, it's just stuff that's in my head, and it comes out. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's thoughtful, sometimes it's deep, sometimes it's silly, but this is what it is. This is me. For the people that have been here all the time, you already know this. Thanks for being here, so you don't have to, you know, say whatever you're going to say. It is what it is, all right? That should be the name of the podcast, is what it is. But welcome to Riffin' with Griffin. Please subscribe, share, hit the likes, all that, because it helps grow the podcast. As you know, I'm on Twitter. I'll be on Twitter right after this on Eric Griffin Gaming. It's also a way to support the show. You can be a Twitter sub, help support me, which is great. Other ways are you can be a Patreon member, which this week I am going to do a Patreon episode. So you got this. You could be a Patreon member, or you could be a YouTube member. All those people get the whatever extra content and messages and stuff, it goes there. So I appreciate that. And also, I'm coming your way in 2023. Already got a few dates, and more dates are coming. If you want to come check me out live, please do come check me out live. I still got my terrible podcast, but it is what it is. Where is my screen capture thing? Boom, there it is right there. So I'm coming to the Comedy Zone in Greensboro, North Carolina, January 13th through the 15th. The Newberry in Great Falls, Montana. Newberry coming your way February 25th. And then there's other dates coming up later, but those are the two ones that are coming up soon, but especially the Comedy Zone in Greensboro, January 13th through 15th. So come check me out there. Make sure you come see that. All right. Okay, now, now a word from our sponsor. This show, Riffin' with Griffin, is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Griffin. Okay, what's up, y'all? So anyway, as I was saying, Rachel is out here. Oh, and thank you, Janine, for the super chat. And that's another way you can support the show. Hit me with a super chat or super whatever. The YouTube always has some new stuff there. So I do appreciate that. If you want to send me a beat also for the rap recap for the end of the show, as I do my old man rap style, you can send me, if you're a producer out there and you're like, oh, I want my beat featured on Riffin' with Griffin, send that. You know, I have like a number of really great young producers or old. I don't know. They seem young, but they could be old too, whatever. But they send me stuff and I put it out there. So I appreciate that. So any way you support the show, I appreciate you. So anyways, we got, Rachel, she just brought some sushi home. You know, and I don't know how y'all feel about sushi. You know, take home sushi. I don't know about take home sushi. I think you're supposed to, I saw a whole thing about like you have to eat sushi right away. It has to be at a certain temperature. So like the place is right down the street. So I know she brought it right home and it was very fresh tasting. So I actually sat down there a little bit and like I gobbled some down, because if you let it sit, You don't want to let it sit sushi. You know what I mean? I'm going to put up a little Q&A for the chat. B-roll advice from, I haven't done this in a while, grown ass man. I'll just do this one live if anybody has any things right there. So I'll put that in for the chat right there. No poll right now. Oh, you know what? Something I didn't put in the description that I might want to get into, but I don't know. Because, you know, there's this big talk of this Brittany Griner trade for the, you know, the thing. So many people talking about that, right? So it's just like, I guess I'll give my thoughts on that too. And then today I'm also, like I said, I'm going to read some comments from people. I get a lot of comments and, you know, some good, some bad, you know, some are thoughtful. And I just thought, you know what, let me give some people some shout out who have given me, asked about things on the show, you know, previous episodes and stuff like that. So we'll go into that stuff too. So I was in Austin this past week. I was in Austin. I did a Eric and Friends at Creek in the Cave, and shout out to all the comics that were already out there, like David Lucas. He moved to Austin. He's out there. Brian Simpson, both of these dudes super funny and so different, you know. They're both so different but super funny, and they're hanging out a lot with Rogan. Like Rogan is always giving them love, so they out there with him. Sometimes they go on the road with him and go to theaters and stuff, so they're doing great. Brian Simpson is just a really funny dude, man. You gotta check him out. So I did a show at the Creek in the Cave. And then guess who was in town? Bobby Lee was in town. So Bobby came by and did a set at the show too, which was great. He was in town doing something with Tom Segura, the Your Mom's House people. So he like hit me up, and then we were going to go to like lunch or dinner, but I was out in Austin doing something specific, which was I was directing my boy Matt Rife's special. I don't know if you guys have seen Matt Rife or you know who he is. I've had him on the podcast before. Handsome young dude. You know, now he's just a young man now. It's freaking, you know what I mean? It's actually freaking crazy. His Instagram keeps getting shut down, which doesn't make any sense, you know. But I think it's just haters, you know. But he's been doing, I've known him since he was like 15 years old, 14 years old. You know, he came to my show in Pittsburgh. So he was like, he was really adamant. Like he would hit you up on Twitter and be like, hey, I'm trying to be a comic. I'm a fan of yours. Comic, comic, comic. He just were relentless, you know? So you just like see him, a good looking kid. You're like, all right, let me see what's up with this kid. And we started talking. We built up a friendship. And I was like, listen, I'm coming to Pittsburgh. And he was like, I'll take a bus if you give me a guest set. And he took a bus at like 15, 16 years old, took a bus to Pittsburgh, and I put him on stage and he bombed horribly. I wish I had the tape. So funny how much he bombed. And then, you know, he just kept doing it. And he came to LA, and when he was going to move to LA, he just was going to turn 18. He was like, I'm moving to LA. And so he wasn't even 18 yet, actually. And I let him stay with me for a couple weeks. And then I took him around to the comedy clubs and I was like, yo, this kid, he really wants to do it. And, you know, and cut to now, he's literally one of the biggest comics on TikTok. You know, his first special is already out there, so I do recommend you. And I loosely directed that one, but it was a whole thing. And that one is on. Yeah, it's called OnlyFans. That's it. That's the name of his special. The name of his special is called OnlyFans, and you can see it on YouTube right now. You know, you can see it on YouTube, and so it's on YouTube for free. He's got like, I don't know how many, he's got 1.4 million views on the special. That was 11 months ago. And this is how he's doing it. He's doing it his own way. And I so admire that. You know, he very much is like this new generation of comics that is taking advantage of, he's taking advantage of what's going on out here. And the funny thing about him that I admire the most is, like, I used to tell him all the time, dude, you got to get on social media. You got to. And he was adamant that he didn't want to do it that way. He was like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. He didn't have the energy for it. He didn't want to be somebody that has to make funny clips and all this kind of stuff. He really wanted to be a stand-up. So cut to a few months back, maybe a little longer than that, he like started putting up his stand-up clips, you know, and he was like doing some crowd work. And he did this one that really resonated with people, and it blew up. 800,000 followers on TikTok like this. And now he has videos on TikTok that have 40 million views. He's got a number of TikTok videos that are 40 million views. And then that led to people coming to see him live. He's selling out theaters like the Wilbur. I mean, the Wilbur is like a place that, like, you know, every comic wants to do. I've never even done it. You know what I mean? And he sold out 3 shows at the Wilbur. So it is just like a new generation of comic. And I'm super proud of him. Like, you know, there's no jealousy or anything like that in my heart. You know, you could be jealous, because I'm like, damn, I wish I was able to do that. And in the same breath, I'm like, I'm so proud of this dude, because he's like a little brother to me. You know what I mean? I showed him how to shave. That's the kind of relationship we have, you know? So cut to, it was time now for this one, this new one he's doing. And I was like, I'm directing this one for sure. And so I went out, and, you know, we had a bunch of meetings, and then you were talking to the crew, and the shout out to the crew, man. They were great. Evan and everybody, the sound guy. I mean, everybody was so good on the crew. And we got some really beautiful shots. We shot it at the Vulcan. And the Vulcan's this weird 2-story, like, rock club venue type thing. But there were people on the balcony, and it was just, we got these amazing shots. And it was just something that's a new thing I want to get into, which is, like, you know, directing. So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure it's going to come out great. And then, you know, he's already, putting out posts to be like, hey, let's get some funding for the next one. Like, he's totally down to just, like, do it on his own. He don't care about Netflix and all this kind of stuff. If they want to give him money to do it, he's like, cool. But it's like, I'll do this myself. I don't need anyone. And I just, like, that's just the way to go. We don't need these gatekeepers who think that they understand comedy and they just only putting out a certain type of comedy. You got to be this or that. And here these young kids are coming up, and they're like, yo, we're gonna do it our way. And you know what, I really I don't know, I just admire that. So shout out to him. And so wait, check out my directorial debut sometime in a few months. The new special is gonna, his special be out, and it'll say produced and directed by Eric Griffin. So I can't wait for that. All right. Well, yeah. So there's that. I don't even know. So what else is going on? So let's get into, I want to get into a few comments, from people. Yeah. Let me see if there's any questions in my thing. And shout out to everybody that listens to the podcast too later. I appreciate you on that. So, you know what I mean? Wait, how do I don't even know how to get to this. This is so weird. Like, how do you get to, I don't know if there's anybody has even, I don't think anybody's even asked a question on the Q&A. So, because I'm not even sure how to get to it. Like, I see it right here. Oh, I guess there's just no questions. Anyways, all right, so I'm going to get to a comment. So last week I was talking about solar, and it's like solar is weird. Like, it seems that it's a technology that it's not quite where it possibly could be, or in my thoughts. So my thoughts were like, it seems like there's a cap on what solar can do. And is it the fact that like they're not putting enough technology towards that, or is it being suppressed because the electric people and the gas people are like, yo, we don't want you to get this super free energy. Somebody just asked me right now, you should put up, I do have a Discord too. That's so true. I do have a Discord. I actually should start bringing super fans onto the show. You know what I mean? But I do have a Discord if anybody's interested. You know, I got to just put that. I got to figure out what, get that link in. I forgot how to do that. I'm not going to do that right now. I don't even know why I even mentioned it. But, you know, I do have a Discord. So next week I'll put that in the thing so you guys can start checking out my Discord. But anyways, I was talking about the solar. And so I got a message from somebody, Trez Novak. T-R-E-Z, if that's how you say his name, Tresnoga. I've worked in the solar industry for multiple years. It would be amazing if there was a solar technology that was efficient enough to either simultaneously charge the vehicle while it was driving, and that be effective enough to drive 0 to 80 miles per hour. As far as solar energy replacement for electricity usage, there are a significant amount of grid-tied systems, off-grid systems, where yes, large battery banks are needed. There is going to come a point where the majority drive electric vehicles, and the massive issue there are people charging their cars at home and charging stations. We will get our electricity from the national grid. The national grid can never be replaced, only worked on with when it fails. Power outages, blackouts, etc., are going to become a massive issue. That's what this guy thinks. You know, he thinks it's going to be a massive issue. So, you know, and you know, I've heard this a lot. He goes on. It's a really long comment, so I'm not going to go all into that. But yeah, I mean, so that's something that they keep talking about, that this is going to be a massive issue when more electric cars are on the grid, and what are we going to do, and when are they going to charge them? Is there going to be enough power? So, I mean, you would just think that they hopefully are going to, like, work on this. Are they going to have, like, you know, big wind things in the middle of the country that's going to be charging things? Or are we going to have big more solar panels in the deserts? Like, what are we going to do to ensure that we have more technology available for, you know, for solar? I don't know. We'll have to see, right? Hopefully it's something that, you know, will... hopefully there's something that's going to get worked on, all right? All right, let me go to one of my comments on Insta... Sorry. On Instagram. I had to turn the volume down on that. So I did get a lot of Instagram comments from last week when... from last week's episode when I put up this thing about Kanye West. So lots of comments about this, man. But, you know, I guess I don't even know if I want to read any of these, because some of these are just kind of like, I think sometimes people are missing the point. I just want to say something about this point about last week. About Kanye, for instance, because I just saw a thing now where Kanye was saying, hey, I did all this because I wanted to get out of my contract, you know, as if that's some sort of like justifies things. I mean, it really, to me, it's still dangerous to think that there are people out there who are listening to the things he says, for instance, about Jewish people, about, oh, they should be working for Christians and all the sort of things he was saying that inspired people who are out there with this nonsense of like, well, you know, he had a point about some of the things he was saying. Just because you have a point about something, it doesn't mean how you made your point is okay, or that there was no one affected about you making some great point. You know, making a great point, like being honest or whatever, that doesn't excuse you from being an asshole. It doesn't excuse you from hurting people's feelings. And I can speak to this as a comedian, because our intention is to make people laugh. And there are people that we talk about within the jokes who may look at that and be like, hey, why are you using us as the butt of the joke? But overall, the intention is for laughter, for me at least, you know? So this is, it's a fine line. But when you have someone, you're saying that his intention was, I got into a deal that I no longer want to be in. And how I'm going to get out of this deal is I'm going to put a lot of negativity and bring up a lot of polarizing things about Jewish people So then I'll get a bunch of hate and then Adidas will get me out of my contract. Oh, great. But you know what? There are people out there who were like, he's right. And then now they're on the freeway with signs and they're in people's comments, you know, with all their hate. And Kanye's just using you. He's using you too. You know, you're sitting out here thinking that, oh, this is my prophet. And he's saying stuff that's going to, yeah, man, you're right. And he's just out here like, nah, man, I'm just trying to make money and get out of this dumb deal so I can get into a better deal and make all the money myself. He don't care about you. So you out here like, oh, yeah, Kanye's right. And then he's making you look stupid because he's like, I don't really actually care. I'm just trying to make my own money. If that's the case, that don't make it right. I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with that process, you know, because it was, I don't know, man. It left a bad taste in my mouth for that, you know? It really did. All right. What I'll do is let me go back and look at some other, I had some other comments from some other episodes, you know? Yeah, from A.V. Julian. Absolutely loved Wednesday. This is from 2 weeks ago. She's my favorite TV show character of all time. They did one. It was amazing. I was a bit iffy when they initially indicated her vision, something she has historically never exercised, but they sold me. Yeah. And then somebody, you rock, Eric. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, man. I really, like I say, when I look back on that episode of the show, I actually watched the whole show again. I've actually never done that on a Netflix show. Once I watch it once, I have never gone back and been like, hey, let me take a look at that again. But I actually went back. I was just, because I was on the road. I was on a plane. So I'd already had it downloaded. And I was like, oh, let me start watching this again. And I was like, oh, yeah, just I really loved it. So that was great. And then I had a poll last week, and then let me see. Oh, no, that's the same person. Oh, so here's someone else. Simulation, but spelled really weird. I like that. You got me with that one. The question you posed about a boring night versus a best night has a flaw, and that is, even if you don't remember the best night because I'm wasted, I can look through pictures and videos from the night to assemble some memories. So in a way, I will in fact remember the night. I don't know about that. I think that there is something about, imagine like you had the best night of your life, you know? And you like went to Vegas and like, you know, your dream celebrity girl is there. And she sees you and she's like, oh, my God, I want you. Take me now. And you're just taking pictures all night and videos, you know. You know, maybe it's you and Taylor Swift. say Taylor Swift is your jam. And you at a club and Taylor Swift sees you and she's like, oh, you are the one. And she's just making out with you and she's writing a song about you right in front of you. And you're just like, oh, my God, Taylor's writing a song about me. And she's, you know, kissing your neck. And then she takes you into her room and she just makes passionate love to you, Taylor Swift style, whatever that means. Probably angry and she's crying. Don't hurt me. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding, Taylor Swift. Don't get mad at me. You know, because she's going to write a great song about it later. But anyways, you know, and she's taking like pictures, provocative pictures of you and her. And then, but you blacked out drunk and you don't remember none of it. Wouldn't you feel a certain kind of way when you look on your phone and you see pictures of you and Taylor Swift and you're like, oh no, what happened? She did what? And you have like a hickey, you know what I mean? And you're like, I got a hickey. Did Taylor Swift give me a hickey? And I don't even remember it. I'm sorry. That wouldn't be enough for me. I would be furious at myself. I would just be like, oh, I had this night that all I can see is pictures and I don't even remember what happened. I don't know. So I disagree with you. But the question poll was, would you rather have a boring night that you remember everything or the best night of your night, but you're blacked out drunk and you don't remember anything the next day? Which one would you want? So that's what that poll was about. And then somebody gave, this guy Wayman put this, and I totally agree with this statement he's put. With respect, you can't really ask folks to support you on Patreon but not upload content to Patreon. I totally agree with you. That's why coming shortly is some Patreon content. Trust me. Yeah, okay, still nobody on the Q&A, so all right, well, I won't worry about that then. You know what I mean? I had it there, but it is what it is. One of my most viewed videos is the movie review with the Lee brothers. I wonder if there's any new comments on here. Somebody says, Hugo, this trio needs to happen more often. Well, it is what it is. Somebody said, the second time I've watched this, how in the hell did Bobby choose Andrew Santino over this amazing nerd out geek podcast of film critique and hilarious stories about Steve and the gaming and the arguments? It's just the best, the funniest. Hey, Bad Friends is pretty great too. So, and shout out to Andrew and Bobby. They're actually going to put on a great show at the Comedy Store, the main room. So if you're in the LA area, check out the website of the Comedy Store. I'm going to be on the show too. They're going to do like Bad Friends comedy, and then they're going to give all the proceeds to the door guys for as a Christmas gift. Because, you know, it's a lot of struggling dudes that work the door. They're like struggling comics, and, you know, they're going to do that for them. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, man. So lots of stuff going on. And also, like I say, check me out on Gen to Gen Podcast, Eric Griffin Gaming, and The Golden Hour. Make sure you check me out on The Golden Hour. All right, let's go into some other stuff. I know I haven't really watched it, but this royal family stuff is on. Meghan and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. That's what their official titles are. Turns out his dad, I think that Charles is his dad, right? Yeah, I think so. Is like not taking their titles away. I mean, who even cares? Like, do these titles even mean anything? I guess it means something in England. I think it's still a big deal to have this royal family. I don't know. But I was looking on there, and they actually have a website, which I think is so strange that, you know, they have this, look at this. They have this website that you could go and see all this stuff about them. But it's like, it's not even really, I don't think, it doesn't look like they're even keep up on the website. You know, it's like it's just like they just have a bunch of nice picture, a couple of nice pictures, and with a little blurb, and then them with people. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. There's the Desmond Tutu and her with the baby, and it's like, there, you know, it just looks like one of those. It just looks like one of those, like, you know, they're trying to like show what good people they are. Anytime I see like British royal people like this, and then they're out at some, looks like some African countryside, and then there's a little black kid, you know, giving him high five, I'm just like, who's this for? Like what is this? You know, so I don't know what's going on with them. I've seen a bunch of articles how people are like sick of them. You know, they're like they're just done. Like, move on. You know, if you don't want to be a part of the royal family and everything that the royal family means, then just, you know, they have a Netflix special. You know, I'm sure they got millions of dollars to do that, and they're just living in the United States now. Like, hey, we don't want to be a part of all that pomp and circumstance of the royal family. So who knows? I mean, what an odd looking couple too, you know? I saw a little bit of the show just to like watch them talking about how they got together. And I just thought to myself, are they really that interesting? I don't know if they're that interesting to have a full-on show about them. Has anybody seen them? Has anybody seen the show? Like, I don't know if it's even worth, is it even worth it, you know? I don't know, man. I don't know if, like, now they're just celebrities. I mean, I guess the Obamas did it too. I mean, I guess, is that the thing that people are doing now? They're like famous for whatever they're famous for, infamous for in some cases, and then the Netflix just goes, hey, come here. Because you know what I noticed is this new trend on Netflix now is all these like serial killer tapes, which I didn't even know they were taping people like that. And how did they even get it? Like, how much money did they have to pay to get these tapes? But they had the John Wayne Gacy tapes, which I listened to, and oh my God, frightening, man. Like, that guy was a scary dude, man. Just the fact, you know, he was just burying young boys under his house, 27, 28, 29, and when they finally found him, it's just like, God damn. And then you're just listening to him talk about it. You know, he's just his general tone. So they made a whole show out of it. So I believe they got the Ted Bundy also. Let me look it up. Ted Bundy tapes, I think. Yeah, yeah. Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. Oh, I think that one already came out. Yeah, that one already came out. Okay. That one's an old one. I think that was the first one they did. Yeah, that came out in 2019. So I guess there's like a resurgence of it. People, it's more because of this whole Dahmer fascination that came out. So, but yeah, man, this sucker is crazy. Yeah, so Conversations with a, that's what it's called, Conversations with a Killer. So they had the John Wayne Gacy ones. And then in 2020, they had the Ted Bundy Falling for a Killer. Well, that was an Amazon series. Oh, okay. And then the Confessions of a Killer 2019. Hey, these are all series. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Jesus. Yeah, so I don't know what this big fascination with that is. Sometimes you just go, hey, maybe this shouldn't be made. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like we just move on from this. All right, so one of the big things that's happening right now is like people are all up in arms about the Brittany Griner trade. You know, I don't know how I feel about it. I actually can see, this is one of those ones where I see both sides, and I often have to tell myself, let me remember that if that were my family, I would want people to do whatever they can. I mean, that's why it's very nuanced, you know? So like, if just think of it this way, if it was your wife, your brother, your father, your mother, your sister, your whoever that was super close to you is being detained and going to be detained in some Russian prison for 9 years. And then you would want the government to do everything they can. It's not your concern to worry about as a family member and loved one to be like, well, who are you getting? And then try to figure out the merits of that. So I understand on this side. And then on the other side, you go, all right, well, we had this guy, this butcher, whatever, this Russian, you know, arms dealer. We've had him for, what, 14 years or something like that? And then they traded. They tried to get other people out, but they wouldn't do it, apparently. I don't know all the details. We'll never know all the real details. But people are using this, you know, as a thing where it's like, well, should we have traded? Do we get equal value? And it's like, who are we to decide that? But if you are in the State Department, if you are someone who is, you know, a military person, or you're a strategist and you have to think about the greater good of everyone, I can understand somebody being like, well, why did we trade this guy who was responsible for so much death and destruction for, a pseudo celebrity basketball player, you know, who wasn't even, who doesn't even come here, you know, play here that often. And because there's more money, female basketball, it seems to be more valued in other places than it is here in the United States. So that's the reason why she did that. But, you know, and then there's all these things about her now. They're like, oh, she was beating her wife. And should that, you know, should we have traded someone like this for, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's like you have to ask yourself how you feel about it, you know. But I just want you to try to frame it in a way of thinking about if it was someone in your family. I mean, we all got a family member who's like not the best person in the whole wide world, but that's your family member. You know what I mean? And you would be like, well, I want them to do everything they can to get my person back. And somebody comes to you and says, well, your dad is kind of a deadbeat, you know, or your brother, didn't your brother get arrested for shoplifting or whatever it is like that? And you're going, yeah, I know, but that's my brother and I want my brother back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, who are we to decide what it is. you know? And I know they're talking about Paul Whelan. That's the guy. They're claiming that they tried to get Paul Whelan in the deal, and Russia was like, no, it's either this or nothing. And so who are we to be like nothing? Because who do they care? They just put her in a prison and be like, okay, you don't want her? Well, no problem. And then it just depends on, like, how much the public cares here. You know, like, if the public is calling for, hey, what's going on? Why aren't we getting Brittany Griner out? I mean, if that's the big swell of, like, things, so then they're like, well, look, we got to get her out. Because it was so public. It was so, you know what I mean? Like, it was just the at the forefront of the news all the time, especially sports news, which sports are big in our country. So it was just kind of like, yo, what are we going to do? So I don't know. So then, like, I think that Paul Whelan's family, there was another trade, another prisoner swap before, and they were trying to get him out then, and then it didn't happen, and they didn't tell Paul Whelan's family, like, yo, we're doing this prisoner swap, but it's not for him, so look out for that in the news. And then they were really upset about that. They were like, yo, what, you know, don't fact check me. Because this is just like secondhand. I remember hearing about this. So I think that this time they really made sure to call Paul Whelan's family and be like, hey, we tried to get him out. They didn't want to give him up. So this is what we're doing. So I don't know. And who knows what they asked for. Maybe Russia was like, all right, we'll give you Paul Whelan and Brittany Griner if you do this, this, and this. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Russia was like, yo, stop giving, you know, money and arms to Ukraine, and we'll send. So I mean, who knows, like, what our line was? That's what I'm interested to know. Did we have a line? Was there like a line where, like, Russia was asking for A, B, and C, and we were like, nah, we got your merchant of death. He's on the table. Who you gonna give us? So I don't know. You know what I mean? And like, I fully understand that there's no way that they're going to tell us everything. You know what I mean? They're not going to tell us everything. And then, like, if you're Paul Whelan's family, and then you hear they go, well, they don't want to trade. They're only going to do it for her. Like, I understand Paul Whelan's family being like, well, let's wait then. What else do they want? We can get him out with her. And then they're like, yeah, but Russia's like, look, this is it. So it's like, it's so nuanced. And like, imagine being a fly on the wall, hearing all this stuff. Like, on paper, was it a great trade? Maybe not, right? But like, who are we to decide what the value of a human being is based off their merits or what they do or how famous they are or whatever? I mean, apparently this happens a lot, that there are a lot of like, American people in Russian prisons for like trumped up charges or whatever the thing is. And we're constantly in some negotiation about like, yo, can you let our people go, please? You know, we'll give you this, this, and this. So, you know, it's like, let's stop acting like we're not like, we're a global economy. So, you know, we're buying oil from this country and that country while we're in war with the same country. Like, I mean, it's so bizarre. It's so weird. So, like I'm saying, it's like, we're not, you know, this is above, what do they say in movies all the time? This is above my pay grade. You know, this is above my pay grade. I mean, I feel like I would have, you know, while the merchant guy, if he's so terrible, if he's done such heinous things, you know, just give him some slow acting poison or something. We go, oh, here he is. And then we find out merchant got sick. He's sick 2 weeks later. He's very ill. You know, I don't know, man. It's like, it's very bizarre. So like I say, I don't know. Cause when these kind of things happen, you know, people do a deep dive on a person. So whatever Brittany Griner's past, public or private, that is being called into question whether she is worthy of trading such a valuable target, an enemy target, that a prisoner such as this merchant guy. So that's really, I don't really have too much more to say about that because I'm really just calling for people, just have some sympathy, have some empathy for her family and understand where they're coming from. You know, it's so easy for people to be like, well, I wouldn't have done that. You know, it's like Trump put out some nasty stuff about it, you know, just being like, you know, she don't even love America and all this kind of stuff. But, we'll see. Who knows? It's done. It's happened. It's done. You know what I mean? It's done. We got the guy. We sent him back. Okay, whatever. Take your guy. Who cares? Like, what's he going to do now? The guy been in jail 14 years. Maybe he changed his ways. Maybe he's been in prison like, you know what? He's told a bunch of secrets. And who knows, man? You know what I'm saying? Who freaking knows? But it is what it is. All right, so my Janine girl wrote something here. Working two full-time jobs and it's killing me. My bank account is thick as fuck, but I'm scared that I'm sacrificing my social life too much. I'm single and don't want to end up alone. Help. Well, I mean, all right. Listen, I think that all of us, take things one step at a time. All right? I used this analogy with someone yesterday who was like, going through a health thing and was really scared and was telling me how overwhelmed they are about everything. And I just want to think of your life or all the situations you have going on that you're in a burning building, okay? And this is why you should just deal with the problems that are in front of you and not look ahead. Because if you look ahead at problems, you're not going to deal with your present situation. So I want you to think of yourself, your life, like you're in a burning building, a burning apartment building, but you're butt-ass naked, and you're sitting in this burning apartment building. If you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, I don't have any clothes, when I get outside, I'm going to be naked, and then you panic. When you really should be thinking about is, how am I going to get out of this burning building? Take it even a step further. How am I going to get out of my apartment? My apartment's on fire. My floor is on fire. So you take one step at a time. Let me get out of this room. Let me get out of this apartment. Let me get off this floor. Let me get out of this stairwell. Let me get outside. Then let me find some clothes. You know what I mean? Because if you're always concerned about what this make-believe future that's going to be, because you're just putting that all in your head. I don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to end up alone? Am I going to end up this? No. Stop worrying about all that and just deal with the things that are right in front of you. You always have time to do the things that you love. So if you have like you're worried about your social life, well, okay. Then make time for other things. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Make sure you eat right. Make sure you're trying to get a little exercise in. You know, if your job is too much, make sure you're taking time for yourself. And while you're taking time for yourself, then you worry about, oh, okay, well now let me see if I can get on dating apps or go out to bars or go out to things that interest me. And then, you know, take those times that you tell yourself, well, I'm doing those things. Well, maybe let me see, let me look around. You know, that's what we don't do enough of. Put your head up, look around and see who's there. Next thing you know, you meet someone. You meet another person. Maybe you have interest with this person. Next thing you know, you guys are going on a date. Or maybe it's not romantic now and you say, well, now I've made a new friend. Who knows? But that's what's in front of you. All right? Anyways, last thing I want to talk about today is like I was thinking about I didn't watch a lot of movies in 2022, this year. I didn't watch a lot of movies. I didn't go to the theaters a lot. I think I went to the movies this year maybe six times, as opposed to every time I would go on the road before I would go watch a movie. I just haven't really been interested in watching movies. And I was wondering, like, well, what's the list of top grossing movies this year? And did I even see any of these movies? So here's the top grossing list from Box Office Mojo, which is a good source for looking at box office stuff. And of course, the top movie of the year was Top Gun Maverick. And I saw this, and it made $1.4 billion worldwide. And that's crazy that this is Tom Cruise's highest grossing movie of all time. 30 years in the business, and he's made I can think of hits that he's made, and I go, oh wow, this was the highest grossing one. So you got Top Gun. I saw it in the theaters. Jurassic World Dominion, $1 billion worldwide. I didn't see that in the theaters. I saw that on like Peacock, actually. I think, was it Peacock? It was something like that. Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, saw it in the theaters. I'm so on it. Minions, The Rise of Gru, didn't see it. Batman, saw it. I think I saw it a couple times. Too long. Black Panther, Wakanda, saw that in the theaters. All right, so that's three I saw in the theaters. Thor, Love, and Thunder, four. Saw that in the theaters. Fantastic. Okay, Watergate Bridge, didn't see that. This movie made $600 million worldwide and only $100,000 domestic. But it made $600 million worldwide. I don't even, what freaking movie is this? What is this? Let's see what this is. Anybody know what movie this is? The Watergate Bridge? I don't even know what the hell this is. Wait, what's going on with my mouse? Oh, here we go. Watergate, sequel to The Battle at Lake, whatever this is, looks like a Chinese. Oh, follows the Chinese people, volunteers, soldiers on the new task, and their battlefield is a crucial bridge on the retreat of a route of American troops. Oh, okay. Wow. So we're the enemy in this movie. Ain't that something, huh, y'all? So we're the enemy in this Chinese movie. I guess that's fair, because we make movies all the time where Arab countries and Asian countries are the bad guys, and then those are big action box office movies. It didn't even occur to me that other countries make action movies where we are the villains and we get beat up. Well, apparently that's what this movie is. And it's a sequel. And it made $600 million worldwide. Ain't that a bitch? All right. Okay, so I didn't see that one in theaters. Fantastic Beasts and the Secrets of Dumbledore. I saw that in the theaters. Didn't like it. Sonic the Hedgehog, didn't see that. Uncharted, didn't see that. Black Adam, I saw in theaters. Elvis, I saw in theaters. Okay. I saw a bunch of these in theaters. I saw Bullet Train in theaters. Bad Guys, didn't see that. Lightyear, didn't see that in theaters. Too Cool, didn't see that. Smile, Nice View, didn't see that. DC League of Super Pets, didn't see that in theaters. I'm looking down here. What did I see in theaters? Morbius, I saw in theaters. So maybe I saw like 10 or 11 movies. That tells me that before I was watching like 100 movies maybe. Yeah, Where the Crawdads Sing. Haven't seen that. Let me see some of these other movies. I don't even know any of these movies. Dragon Ball Super Superhero. Didn't see that in theaters. Jackass Forever. Didn't see that in theaters. Moonfall. I didn't see that in theaters. Terrible. I'm telling you right now. This movie, Moonfall, let me see if this is the right one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That movie was so bad. Here's another one that has no domestic. Oh, these two right here have no domestic box office. Huh. All right. Marry Me. I didn't see none of these. I'm trying to see if I saw any of these. Yeah, I see none of these. None of these, the rest of these in the theaters. Wow. Well, they re-released. Wow, can you imagine that Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets was re-released in the worldwide just to re-release it, and it made $22 million? I mean, goddamn, that movie just keeps going. I wonder what the highest grossing movies are of all time. Let's see, all time. All time. Oh, wait. Okay, let's go. Worldwide. Okay. Oh, this is year 22. Oh, we want to go all time. How do you see that? Oh, this, okay. I don't know what I'm doing, guys. Yeah, this is, okay, let's just go to Box Office Mojo. Okay, here we go. All right, and you go all time chart, domestic, worldwide. Okay, here we go. Top lifetime grosses. Avatar. Wow. Avatar is still the record holder, and I care nothing about Avatar. Like, the new one's coming out, and I'm hearing it's supposed to be the most spectacular thing you've ever seen on screen. But imagine, it's been 10 years, and, you know, this one Avatar, we went to go see it, and we were like, wow, everybody saw it, and then we just completely forgot about it. We don't care about the world, the characters, nothing. It's the strangest phenomenon, right? So, all right. Top lifetime grosses. Okay, here we go. I finally found it. All right, so lifetime grosses of all time is Avatar in 2009. Imagine that. There hasn't been a movie to beat that. Oh, Avengers Endgame makes sense. We built up to that. Imagine you're James Cameron and you have two of the top grossing movies of all time, Avatar and Titanic. Oh, this is such an interesting list, man. The worldwide lifetime gross as opposed to the domestic gross. It's such a difference. All right, so we got Avatar at number one, Endgame number two, Titanic number three, Star Wars The Force Awakens, really? Wow, at number four, Infinity War at five, Spider-Man No Way Home at six. Wow, that's a new one. That was 2021. Jurassic World, which was in 2015 at seven. The Lion King, good for The Lion King. And now this, wow. And the new one too, not even the cartoon. In 2019, The Avengers at nine and Furious seven. You're telling me Furious seven made the top 10 highest grossing movies worldwide of all time. What is the world coming to? Top Gun Maverick is already at 11. Frozen is Frozen 2, not even Frozen 1. Frozen 2 at number 12. Avengers Age of Ultron, then Black Panther. And then here we go with Harry Potter, Star Wars Episode 3 at, what is that? The Last Jedi. Wow. None of the good ones from my era. Then Beauty and the Beast from 2017. Isn't that, wow, this is crazy, y'all. And then Incredibles 2 at number 20. Wow. There's another, The Fate of the Furious at number 21. Isn't that bananas, y'all? So I wonder if we can look at, okay, here's worldwide. You know what? Domestic. You know what I like to look at? Oh, you can't look at it like on this one. But I like to look at international versus domestic. Because that's amazing how that changes. Look at this. Domestic box office, just us here, Avatar goes down to number four, and it goes Force Awakens. Really? That's really amazing to me. Avengers Endgame, Spidey No Way Home, and Avatar and Top Gun Maverick is the top five. Ha! I saw all those in the theaters, man. Saw all those in the theaters. Anyway, this is just a chill episode, just to also, because I like, you know, I have to do my podcast. I have to finish it. You know what I mean? But I want to thank everybody for watching the show, listening to the show. You know, look out for that content I've been telling you about. It's gonna come. I promise you that. For Patreon, YouTube members. So you can be a YouTube member, Patreon member. These are all the ways you can support me financially, okay? Super chats right here. You got Instagram super subscriber, Twitter super follower, Patreon, Twitch, YouTube member on either Eric Griffin Gaming or on here. Or just, you can go to my bio on this, and if you just want to be like, hey, here's a tip, Griff, I love you. There's another way to do that too, right? So many different ways to modify. And then here's a rude ass comment. You old as hell. That's rude. Why would you say that? I don't know why. What has inspired that? You know what I mean? I'll take food stamps. you guys are, I hate all y'all, you know? That's sometimes y'all are just too much. I will not take any bootleg DVDs. We're not going to do that. I don't know why. Why am I old as hell? I'm still waiting for that dude who just got called out. Tell me why I'm old as hell, mofo. You know, I don't understand that. You go say something like that, at least respond, at least like follow up. You know what I mean? If you think that's old, wait till I hit you with this, you know, because you know what time it is, y'all. You know what time it is? You know what time it is? Every week we got the rap recap. Woo! Don't turn your back. Put out your hand and get some dap. Did it again. Somebody tell your friend. Rap recap. I don't even remember what I talked about. Box office mojo. This is my dojo. Teaching that karate. The check getting bodied. Avatar. Highest grossing of all time. Look in the mirror. Every movement. Fine as wine. That's all he. Okay, well, sometimes when y'all gonna send a beat in, you gotta make sure the beat is long. You gotta make sure the beat is long enough that I could do a full on. And this is from my dude, Chris U. Chris U out there, he sent me so many. He got like, it's just dope beat after dope beat from this guy, which I probably used like one or two of these before in the past, but we'll finish it off with this one. Okay, two Chris U beats in the show in a row. This is the rap recap. Eric Griffin running the show. Once again, I don't pretend. Old as fuck. I don't give a fuck. 50 years old doing it live. Strive to stay alive. Podcast will thrive. Old as fuck. Eric Griffin old as fuck. Shit, he old as fuck. But he don't give a fuck. Thanks for watching again. Hit the likes and tell your friends. Let's do it again. See you next week. Don't pretend. You know you like me. Cause you can't see. Eric Griffin is the G. Say, can you see? All right, y'all. I'm all out of raps. Put up your fist and get daps. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for being here. Eric Griffin, Riffin' with Griffin. Woo! Thanks for being here. Thanks for being here. Oh, you know what? You know what I forgot to do, guys? We can't even go yet. You know, I got to do this now. I might have to like do an edit and bring it back in later, but we got to do it now because I forgot. BetterHelp. when you're doing it live, you forget to be doing your commercials. So we got the rap recap, we're going to do the commercial. I'm all about BetterHelp. I'm all about online therapy. And this show, Riffin' with Griffin, is sponsored by BetterHelp, all right? It's the largest online therapy service. BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professional license and licensed therapy, which is 100% online. I've used it. I think it's great. Sometimes you feel embarrassed that you don't want to go into the office, or sometimes what's great about it is you can pick one therapist, and maybe it's not going the way you want. They'll let you get a different one. You could choose the right one and get that match because, look, therapy is not going to solve your problems. I'm telling you that right now. It don't solve your problems. But what it does, what therapy does is help you organize your thoughts with a professional that's going to help you see the root causes of your issues, and then maybe you can attack them that way. As the largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online, plus it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with the therapist, and if things are clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. That's like I said earlier. If it's not clicking, you could do it. It couldn't be any easier. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Griffin. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Griffin. Boom. Well, I had to get that in. Probably on the audio, got to move that to the middle. But anyways, you guys have been absolutely fantastic. Thanks for being here once again. This has been Riffin' with Griffin, and we are